Now, the Holy Bible. So hands up if you've ever tried to read through the Scriptures. Nope, not bad, not bad. So if you began in the book of Genesis, how many of you made it much beyond that? Okay. So we have Genesis, which is, you know, kind of fun. It's got all the stories of creation and those early prehistory events, and then the stories of the great patriarchs of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and then Joseph and all his story. Then the book of Exodus is kind of interesting with all the story of Moses and the plagues and the great events of the Exodus and all that happened in the desert. But then the third book that we reach in Scripture is the book of Leviticus. So hands up for anyone who's actually made it through the book of Leviticus. Well done. What about a second time? Thankfully, in our new liturgy, we only get two readings on Sundays from the book of Leviticus. So one this year and one in year C. That's the sum total. And then during the weekday cycle, again, there are two readings that we had last July. In the old liturgy, there were none. No readings at all from the book of Leviticus. So if the first two books are about the story of creation and the patriarchs and the Exodus, the third book of Leviticus is really just simply about the laws. It's a law code. And so, you know, we can read stories. That's great. That's interesting. But when we get to something that's just a whole bunch of seemingly irrelevant laws and rituals and rules and regulations, it can just seem so dry, so boring. You know, we lose the sense of the story. But if we read the book of Leviticus with an understanding of what was in the background, what was happening, what the story is really there in the detail, that we need to use that story to bring life to the various rules and rituals that are described. Leviticus has 27 chapters. The first 16 are all about the ritual, the various festivals and feast days, the various things that a priest is required to do. And the last 11 chapters, from chapter 16 to 27, is then all about the moral life and all of those details and prescriptions about how to live right. In Leviticus, there's this overwhelming sense of the holiness of God. It's a people, a holy people, who are being invited to be in the right relationships with a holy God. And so there are three categories of being that are described. There are those who are unclean, those people who aren't able to participate in the worship of God, those who are clean, those who are able to worship before the very throne room of God. And then there's the category of the holy. And of course, God is the main occupant of that third category of the holy, because God dwells in the temple in the Holy of Holies. So what we have in Leviticus is this sense of wanting to invite people to live in a way that gives glory to God. And so there are these people, for various reasons, who are described as being outside of that category of clean. Not in terms of bodily hygiene, but in terms of their ability to worship the Lord, their ability to be in community. And so there in chapter 13, we have this description of a particular type of person. This actually goes over two chapters, chapter 13 and 14. It talks about those rituals and prescriptions that prevent someone with any kind of virulent skin disease. And the Hebrew word that we translate as leprosy is not simply Hansen's disease as we understand it today. It's much broader and covers a whole range of different diseases. They knew that there was a possibility of this disease being transmitted through close bodily contact. And so the best way to prevent that disease from spreading was to isolate anyone who seemed to have this disease. And who was the person that was charged with determining whether a person was unclean or clean? The priest. It would have been my job under the book of Leviticus to determine whether someone had this disease or not. It's also my job as a priest, according to the book of Leviticus, to come into your house and check your garments to make sure that you haven't blended your garments with two different types of materials. I would also have to check your walls for any presence of mold. If there was any sign of mold, I would have to declare your house to be unclean and ask you to tear it down. So I can be kind of grateful that my job description has somewhat changed since those days. If it seems sort of irrelevant, if it seems that this whole book of Leviticus is full of so many laws, rules, and rituals, that as Christians we say, no, the sacrifice of Christ has superseded them. The sacrifice of Christ has overcome all of those prescriptions and requirements. The sacrifice of Christ has allowed us to eat all food. That there aren't some foods that are declared unclean now, some that are declared clean. I hold this particular Bible in my hand because it's the Christian Community Bible that comes out of the Catholic Bishops' Conference in the Philippines. And one of the interesting things about this particular translation is that it kind of ranks the different passages in the Bible according to how important they are. If something is more important, it gets a larger typeface. And so, you can go up to 12 or 14 points. Most of it's in probably about 8 point. The whole of the book of Leviticus is pretty much in 6 point kind of font size. It's kind of determined not to be all that significant by the Philippine bishops. Anyway, what does it have to say to us? What can Leviticus offer to us? How can we understand this ritual? Because we know that our Lord Jesus said when he came that he didn't come to undo any of Scripture, that he didn't come to negate any of those laws, rituals, commandments. All of it is still somehow central to our experience. All of it is about being brought from those who are unclean into that experience of being able to worship the Lord. I found it also interesting that what is someone who has this disease told to do? They're told to walk around declaring themselves unclean, and then they're told that they have to have ripped clothing and disheveled hair. In other words, they have to dress like a teenager. So we have this sense of these people who are outside, these people who are unable to be part of the worship of God, people who are excluded for various different reasons, who are unable to experience what it is to be in right relationship with the Lord. And so as Jesus goes about his ministry, as he wanders the countryside, when this leper comes before him, I mean, he's breaching the requirements of the law by doing that, by coming so close to Jesus that Jesus is able to reach out and touch him. But he knows there's something in this man that he knows that Jesus will breach the law, that Jesus will move beyond the requirements of the law. And as he begs him, if you're willing, please cure me. And the answer that Jesus gives is the answer that Jesus will give to any one of our requirements, any one of our diseases, any area of sin in our lives, that Jesus will, of course, reach out to that person and say, of course, I want to be cured. The Lord will reach out. The Lord will cross this boundary. The Lord will allow us to experience what it is to be brought from that category of exclusion, that category of isolation, that category that prevents us from worshiping the Lord. The Lord will invite us into this new category, the category of being righteous, the category of being clean, the category of being capable of receiving the life and love that our Lord offers to us. The Lord wants to reach out. We can have all sorts of reasons, all sorts of things that prevent us from moving into this category of being clean. All sorts of reasons why we, or the people that we know, exclude ourselves from the worship of God. You know, so many Catholics, for whatever reason, fail to experience the wonder and the beauty of being part of this community. So many Catholics say that I'm not worthy, or I don't think that I'm able to be part of this community. And they're isolated, they're excluded. And so the invitation of our Lord is to do what he did, and to reach out and to say to them, of course I want to be cured. Of course, you are part of the community. Of course, you can be included. Of course, you can be part of this experience of the worship of God. When Jesus cures the man, he wants him first to go and to make the offering, to go and present himself to the priest, because it was only the priest who was able to say, yes, now your skin is clean. Now you are whole. Now you are clean. Now you're able to come back into the life of the community. Now you can experience the worship of God. Until that happens, you know, no one else could determine that. If a person was lame and wasn't able to walk, as soon as they were able to walk, of course, people could see, yes, now he's able to walk. If a person was blind and then they could see, of course, the person could say, yes, I can see. And they would be able to work it out instantly. But a leper had to go and first be reconciled to the community. He had to first be declared clean by the priest. So that's why there's this prohibition that Jesus places upon the man. Don't go and talk about it first. Go to the temple. First go and make your offering. First be declared clean by the community of the people of God. The fascinating thing that happens, of course, is that when the man isn't able to remain quiet, and how could he remain quiet after such a transformation, after living who knows how much of his life isolated and excluded from the community, and now he can finally be with his family, now he can again embrace his beloved, now he can be part of this community, he can be friends with people again. Of course he would declare it, of course he would cry out and shout about it. But what happens to Jesus? As a result of this healing, it's Jesus who then becomes isolated. It's Jesus who is then excluded. It's Jesus who can no longer go into the towns. It's Jesus who has to go out into the empty places, out into the wilderness. Our Lord will do anything for us. Our Lord will do anything to bring us into those who are clean. Our Lord will cross any barrier to bring us and to bring any of our friends and family back into the true worship of God. Our Lord longs for us to be his instrument. Our Lord longs for us who have been declared clean to reach out to those who are unclean, to say to them, come back, you're welcome. Come and experience the joy and delight of being part of the community of God's people. Come and be reconciled. Come and be healed. Come and allow our Lord Jesus to free you, to restore you, to bring you into that wholeness and health that only Christ can offer us. Let's be a community that reaches beyond our own boundaries. Let's be a community that declares those we know, welcome, come back. Of course the Lord wants to be healed.